Today's program is proudly brought to you by Whole Foods Market. Visit wholefoodsmarket.com or download the Whole Foods Market app to learn more and find the store nearest to you.
Hey, thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network. This is Katie, HRN Executive Director, and I'm so excited to share with you our coverage from the Charleston Wine and Food Festival.
We are here live today at Charleston Wine and Food.
Join us as we talk all things food.
Come to Charleston, eat some seafood. Eat all of the seafood.
Chicken fried chicken with chorizo steak and salsa verde mashed potatoes.
So quintessentially like Southern fare. At its finest.
And have important conversations.
We're also talking about professional women in restaurants and how underrepresented they are, people of color in restaurants, and how they're not talked about.
We get real with Food Network's Manit Chauhan.
Balance is BS. I was told that I wasn't going to be bleeped out.
And find out about raising sugarcane with Chef Sean Brock.
It's like being Indiana Jones or something. You never know what you're going to find.
You'll come away inspired by the power of food and the food scene in Charleston. Here's Dr. Jessica B. Harris.
Food is constantly in flux. Food is always moving. Food is the only real lingua franca that we have that allows us to connect with other folks.
So tune in to Heritage Radio Network on tour at heritageradionetwork.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
You can't go wrong.
Welcome to Food Without Borders, a show about immigration, food, and politics on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host tonight, Leah Kurtz, and today we have in our studio Minnie Dingra, who's the founder of Samosa Shack, a vegan samosa business that's produced locally using the spices and flavors of India with local produce from New York upstate farms. Welcome to the show, Minnie.
Thank you.
It's a pleasure to have you here. I met Minnie last summer at a vegan food festival where I tried her samosas and was instantly hooked, and have had the pleasure of interviewing her before and writing about her for Edible Brooklyn. And so it's a pleasure to have her, you know, back and to be able to talk about how she got her start in food and, you know, how it's kind of developed over the years since she's begun. So, Minnie, you are originally from Kolkata, India, and by way of Buffalo, you came to New York, right? So can you talk maybe a little bit about what brought you here, you know, your background kind of growing up?
Kolkata, born and raised, and went to graduate school in Buffalo. So spent 23 years of my life in India, Kolkata, as they call it now, and then came here, Buffalo, for a couple years, D.C., and then New York. Just grew up surrounded by food, Indian food, my mother's kitchen.
Yeah, and did you cook as a child? Were you always interested in food? I kind of know the answer to this. It's a leading question, but it's a fun story.
No. I'm the second of two girls, the middle child, and never. I was the tomboy, you know, cut my hair when my mother wanted me to grow it, and just playing outside all the time. Whereas my sister was the one who took home ec in school, and I don't even remember what I took, but it was always like math and just other things, not interested in cooking.
So your trajectory to, yeah, food or being in the kitchen as a profession was not at all?
No.
And what did you cook for yourself, like at what point when you came and moved to the U.S. for college, like how did you deal with being removed from the food that you had grown up eating?
So initially I was in the dorms, and it was a shared kitchen, limited, you know, resources, what you could do, what you could cook. But it was almost the desire to make it feel like home, and nothing makes it feel like home more than food, you know. So I had my one pot. You'd carry it to the common kitchen and cook and clean and bring it back. You kept it in your room. I had a roommate, so it was a tiny space.
Wow, and had you been sent with like a masala dabba, like your own spices?
I
like,
did bring a dabba because I had a lot of luggage, but I brought spices and things that I knew I would like to cook, you know, that I like to eat. I had written down a few recipes with my mom and one of my aunts, but never really cooked before. Mm-hmm. I mean, I watched them cooking, so it wasn't intimidating. I was like, I can do this. You know, I've seen it all my life.
And so watching and then applying was not a clunky process. It like happened pretty smoothly for
you.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm sure there was trial and errors and nobody else was eating it but me. So it didn't matter. But I'm sure, you know, it was a journey to getting it to the right taste of home.
Right. Yeah. And you grew up vegetarian, correct?
Most part. Mostly. Not from the very beginning, but most part, yes.
And was that difficult living in Buffalo? In the, you know, like a few decades ago, probably.
Yeah. It was my first time away from home. I lived at home during college, too. And I was the first child to leave home. Like, my sister got married and moved 10 minutes away from where we grew up. And it was a little bit of a battle moving. You know, my father didn't want me to move this far away and all of that. So it was a huge adjustment, physically, mentally. I mean, the weather was crazy. Oh. So, yeah, I think it was. I think I was lucky to find my little circle there, non-Indians, but nevertheless my circle, and I still keep in touch with a couple of them.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so you studied...
I got an MBA
with
a concentration in market research, because I was always interested in numbers, so...
Yeah. Which is useful now, having your own business. But how did you kind of get into that? Going from having an MBA, working in business and analytics, and then like kind of what launched you into deciding to leave that behind and start making samosas? And how long ago was that?
I was just going to say it seems so long ago, but it wasn't that long ago. It was... just about 4 years, not quite. It'll be 4 years this fall. So 4 years ago, summer, I had my own business, a consulting practice. I cooked for a friend's son who was going away to college in England. And Mikey had sort of taken me to play golf, tried to teach me how to play golf a few times and all of that. And I wanted to have him over for dinner before he left. And I asked what he'd like to eat. And he said, can you make me samosas? And I'd never made a samosa before. You usually buy them in India. They're just so easily available. And I said, all right, I'm going to watch a YouTube video and try and figure this out. And I'm a huge one-pot meal person, so I said, I'm going to make a couple of different kinds of samosas and a salad. And so everybody who came for dinner that night actually were very insistent that I should seriously consider selling them. You know,
after the first go. God bless YouTube.
I know, right? And then I didn't believe any of it. So I said, I'm going to invite a different group of friends. And it was summer. I had a little bit of free time. I believe it was August. So I did the same exact menu a week later, next weekend. And I invited a completely different group of friends. And it was the same response. So one of my friends who was part of that group, the second group, said, let's go to the Irvington Farmers Market, which was next town over from where I live in Cherrytown. And we went there and asked if I could come sell my samosas there. And, you know, they didn't have room. They had another Indian restaurant, local Indian restaurant, coming there. So they thought we might be stepping on their toes. And so I just left my email address and went home. And I got an email a couple of weeks later asking if I could come to one of their sister farmers markets in Chappaqua. And I had no name for my business, and it was just me. So I stayed up all night, made 60 samosas, and I dragged my 11-year-old then with me and said, we're going to the farmer's market. And I was just so, so nervous that everybody was going to laugh. And we sold out in 2 hours.
Wow. So that was probably pretty, like, affirming.
Yeah, but, you know, it took a while to sink in that it's real. Like, really? I still sometimes sort of pinch myself, like, is this really happening?
Yeah, and the name, how did it come about?
So the same friend who went with me to the farmer's market, I brainstormed with her a little bit, and I always bought samosas at a little shack in Calcutta, mm-hmm. and I wanted something shack, and I, you know, the simplest and the fastest, I came up with the name of Samosa Shack.
Yeah, it's perfect.
It works. It does work.
And then, so compared to that batch of 60 for samosas to now, like, what, like, what's the volume now, and how many farmers markets are you in?
We depend. So busy season, which will be right about end of this month, beginning of April. Most of the markets get, like, opening day, end of April, beginning of May. Do anywhere from about 1,500 to 2,500 a week. We have some big, you know, festivals coming up. So depending on that, we might go to about 3, but that's the max we can crank out. And we do a few farmers markets. We're in Manhattan at Morningside Park. Down to Earth Markets, and also with them in Park Slope, Brooklyn. We do a market with them in Larchmont. We're in Westchester County. I do the local Tarrytown and Sleepy Hollow Farmers Market because I live there, and it's
fun. Yeah, you got to stay true.
I do. We do a few markets, and we do a lot of vegan pop-ups.
Of which there are many and growing.
Yeah, no, it's just amazing how much it's like, and we're confined to the tri-state area, but, like, New Jersey's just kind of caught us by surprise. Like, it's just so much of a need, and they just seemed like they were ready for it.
Wow. Well, we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back and get a little bit deeper into the actual, like, the recipes, the food that you make, where you source it from, and what's coming up on the horizon for Samosa Shack. We'll be right back.
Today's program is brought to you by Whole Foods Market. From papayas and samosas to reishi mushrooms, if it's something that sounds delicious, chances are you'll find the freshest, best version of it at Whole Foods Market. They have more than 400 stores across the country, so if you consider pizza its own food group, or just can't imagine when avocado toast wasn't a thing, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Visit wholefoodsmarket.com to find a store near you. Whole Foods Market. Whatever makes you whole.
Welcome back to Food Without Borders, a show about food, politics, and identity. I'm your host tonight, Leah Kurtz, and Today, I have in the studio with me Minnie Dingra. She's the owner of Samosa Shack, a vegan samosa company that sources local produce from farms in upstate New York, but blends that with flavors from India. We've just been discussing kind of Minnie's start into having her own food business. And I kind of wanted to talk a little bit more about what you actually make, because the combinations of, you know, what you can find in the farmers markets and your connections with farms upstate, and then your own incredible talent for imaginative, wonderful, delicious flavors. I can say this with confidence because I've had many of them. it's always surprising and just like, yeah, that sounds incredible. So talk a little bit about how maybe you go about that process of planning your menus and deciding what to make and where you draw inspiration from the most.
I'm constantly at the farmers market, so I'm surrounded by fresh produce, fresh vegetables, and what's in season, obviously. And I think just walking around and being there sort of just starts, you know, the ideas in my head. I'm sure, you know, that's the inspiration. But then you start thinking about, I go back to my comfort. Like, what can I make? For example, this week we made, and this is usually with our weekly special, we did a parsnip black-eyed peas curry. Mm. And I'm used to the black-eyed peas curry. It's a lobia, North Indian, Punjabi style. But then you think about what can I add to it texturally, flavor-wise, you know, sort of just, and the parsnips are there. There's not a huge variety of vegetables at this time of the year. We're past the squash, but not quite yet at the cauliflower right. And all of that.
It's a bleak time.
yeah. So there's beets, I saw, rutabaga, parsnips, carrots. We did carrots, we did beets. This year I haven't done rutabaga yet. So we'd done almost all of them. So just the variety, keep changing it up. So and I almost feel like I want to use all of that. I don't want to feel left out. You know, we're there, and I maybe not at the farmers markets, but generally in the food world, I'm seeing other people use it. So why not in an Indian samosa?
Yeah.
So just the parsnips were perfect. You know, they were roasted with chaat masala. They're a little sweet. And then we incorporate it into the lobia. Mm-hmm. I mean, just careful also that we have to put it into a samosa, so I can't get too crazy, but I try and get crazy.
And where do you get your spices from? That's something you probably can't easily procure at the farmer's market.
No, we don't get any of our spices from our farmer's market. We are starting, so it was started with my local Indian store, but we're starting to move over to a very hyper-local spice company, amazing, Burlap and Barrels, started by Ethan. I tried his turmeric, and he sent me samples, turmeric, cardamom, and chili powder, and my food has never tasted the same.
Wow.
So we're sourcing spices from them. Vegetables, this is what is exciting this season. So we've been getting organic vegetables from a local farmer that I met at one of my farmers markets, Ramsey, New Jersey. That's one of the markets we do. Blooming Hill Farm up, it's Blooming Hill, New York, I guess they're in. Guy Jones is the original farmer. Pretty big operation. He supplies to like Union Square Cafe. And so we're the smallest delivery for him, but he comes to Tarrytown on Wednesdays for a few restaurants. So he brings to us, but even more exciting than that, one of our local farmers who I've gotten to know through this food process is growing some Indian vegetables for me.
Oh, wow. Oh, that's fun.
She's got green chickpeas, so she's going to harvest them, you know, when they're just green. She's doing some Indian squashes. a bitter gourd. Fenugreek is what I've been begging her to do, because I use dry fenugreek now, and it just doesn't taste
not the same as fresh.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Well, that's exciting.
It is, yeah. This will be the first year, and she's doing it specially for us. Deb Taft at Mobius Fields, thank you.
And, it, I mean, you've built quite a wonderful community, right? Just, I mean, I don't know how many friends you had that were farmers and, no. you know, in the food world prior to starting this business, but it's kind of neat to... you know, have all these little connections that are kind of not just, you know, meeting a need and helping you prepare samosas, but truly a good support system, I'm sure. And the familiar face kind of maybe you need at the farmer's market
at the
food events to lift your spirit or.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely amazing. We've built little pockets of, you know, so the far, we have our little farmer's market world. Then we have our, you know, vegan pop-up. We don't come across a lot of vegan businesses at the farmers markets, but then we see them when we do all the pop-ups. You know, we do vegan market here in Bushwick, Brooklyn. It's once a month. We do a bunch of them. New Jersey Veg Fest. We started with Morristown. Now we're in Asbury Park. She is just exploding. She's just a year old, Kendra and Marissa.
Wow.
To... ladies dedicated, you know, to spreading vegan food, good vegan food.
Yeah.
So we have all these little pockets that we've kind of somehow coalesced, you know. And you go here and you go there.
You're in the center of that Venn diagram.
Yeah.
And it is kind of funny. You would think there would be more vegan companies at the farmer's market. Like, that's what we eat. They're vegetables.
I know.
Where,
I know.
Why aren't they there? I guess it's
I mean, there's few, you know, condiments like sauces and stuff that are probably... I don't buy a lot of sauces and stuff because I cook.
You're making it. Yeah.
But so I'm not 100% sure, but I do feel like there might be a couple.
Yeah. Well, I know of like Barry's Tempeh.
He's like, there. Yes. And yes. You're
I know
right.
He pops up in Greenpoint at the
and he
McGorick
comes to
Farmers
Park Slope
and he does. Yeah. He gets
he
around.
Does. Yeah. He does. Barry. Yeah. He does.
It's good tempeh.
The original. Yeah. Very good.
And it is kind of neat how, I mean, I know from before from talking to you that your parents are North Indian, but you grew up in East India and they probably did a similar thing that you're doing, is bringing kind of like their own recipes and their own taste and kind of using what they have where they are and making it work and kind of like, I mean, do you find any commonality between what you're doing and maybe when you speak with your mother and you talk about, you know, you kind of brainstorm recipes, like, is there any crossover there that you see between those two worlds?
Yeah, a little bit. My father was not very much into Bengali food. He was, Bengali food tends to be, you know, less on the, heavy on the spices. It's, they even use sugar in some of their savory dishes. So like the dal, for example, will be a little bit sweeter than a North Indian dal. But my mom sort of brought some of, so she cooks a lot with mustard, which is not a North Indian thing, but it's a completely Bengali sort of way to, you know, this mustard sauce. So they're very famous for their fish in mustard sauce because it's so easily available. But she brought, you know, she makes a mustardy kind of potato dish, like a sabzi, which my father wasn't a big fan of, but we all enjoyed it. So it was made and it was served. So I do see a little
bit. He had leftovers
bit.
That night.
I see a little bit of it. I mean, when I talk to my mom, she cringes a little bit. Like, what are you doing? You're putting this in that and that in this.
Carrot kale what?
I know. We did a pop-up at a distillery up in Hudson a couple months ago, and we've been going once a month now. We did, for Valentine's Day, we did a halwa pie. And she's like, what are you doing? You're making halwa, which is perfectly fine, but then you're putting it in like a pie shell. So, stretched it. I've stretched it a little bit, but it still tastes good. That's what I tell her, Mom. It tasted good. It tasted really good.
Yeah, and I've had the pleasure of meeting your mother. She's absolutely delightful. When she was visiting you and cooking together, and like, kind of, do you feel like you've taught her some things now? I mean, the roles reversed in a way now that this is what you do for a living.
Little bit. She's still my go-to. You know, I can't get hold of her. Mom, call me. She sort of sees where I, you know, when you're cooking in volume, that like, I don't. There's a certain way she chops, and I'm like, Mom, we need to finish this like in an hour. You know, we don't have 3 hours. So I don't take her a lot to my kitchen. You know, it's sort of, we're moving at a fast pace. But the fun part has been recipe testing with her at home. Let's try this. Let's try that. The last time she was here, and I had never cooked with jackfruit before, but we played around with a jackfruit biryani, and now we bring it to all our vegan pop-ups.
Oh, wow.
And it's been so well received. So well received.
That sounds incredible.
I'll have to get you some.
Yeah. Well, and yeah, not only samosas. I know you do the bel puri
you do a always pop-up, right? At all our events.
But you're starting to introduce more like non-samosa
foods. Yeah. Yeah.
That's so exciting.
It's, you know, people ask for it. We started bringing chai to our all our farmers markets. We, you know, grind the chai spices ourselves. Just what I drink at home every morning. And people are used to, you know, the concentrate, the chai syrup, which is not what chai is to me. Mm-hmm. So I've been talking about it for so long and talking about how, well, samosa and chai are the perfect combination. So we finally started bringing that. We started this winter, so we'll probably do like an iced chai version for the summer.
Do you think you'll maybe like start kind of incorporating that? I mean, like I know you make your own chutneys that you sell like canned as well, but do you like, does chai work that way for you? Like, would you consider packaging it or?
Yeah, so we've been asked now.
Okay.
And I think, you know, we will eventually. There's just so much I can do.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You're one woman.
Gosh. Woman with a 15-year-old and a puppy, right?
But I'm sure that is inspiring for your daughter to see you kind of, you know, strike out on, I mean, like you said, you had your own business before doing consulting, but then starting in a brand new field, you know, later in life and kind of reinventing yourself. That's, you know, you're a very strong character for that. And, I'm sure that's something that's really inspiring as far as just like, hey, anything you want to do, like you can kind of do it.
Yeah, no, she gets reminded about it a lot. She doesn't say a lot about it, but I always, you know, where my biggest story to her when she's nervous and she's got that little bit of a nervous tendency. You remember when we were going for our first farmer's market, you know, I was so afraid that everybody's going to laugh at me. And she's been a part of it from day one, like it or not. She's been here and there. I drag her along everywhere.
And in the past few years, has, you know, like you're an immigrant family, like has that shifted at all with kind of like the way the political climate has kind of worsened in some ways? Have you kind of experienced any of that being in such a public space, selling your samosas?
I haven't experienced it personally, and maybe I've just been so lucky. But I think the conversations have changed, even in our kitchen. Yeah, I have a couple other people helping me, and we're all immigrants. So conversations between us, conversations with customers, conversations with my daughter at home, those have changed dramatically.
And what kind of, can you maybe like extrapolate on that?
Just, so I feel it. like I never felt it before, that I am an immigrant. I mean, I'm...
Well, we all are, but some of, like, you know, being a more fresh...
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I've been here for 20 years now.
Yeah.
But just... I never had to sort of... I probably had to remind myself before. And now it's just in your face. You know, so that feeling, you're just a little more guarded and... Mm. But... direct experience and then conversations with my 15-year-old. There's always something on TV and we're talking usually in the car. And what does this mean? What does that mean? You know, why do we feel like this? And she was born here. So it's a different feeling for her. But then she hears all this from me and she probably senses some of it in me. So I've never been so conscious mm-hmm. of the fact that I am... You know, I came from a different country and I spent as much time in the other country or a little bit more as I have here. But all my formative years were in India.
And now that you've been here, like you said, almost equally as long, do you feel equally American now as you do Indian? Is it kind of just like this duality that you live with, or do you still feel like one... Definitely, like you're definitely, you know, one is now maybe even more important to own, and this like immigrant pride to kind of put that push back that's kind of needed.
I think I'm always going to be Indian at heart. I mean, it depends on the day. But for the most part, I'm Indian, who is an American too.
Yeah.
And loves being here and loves being a part of society and my groups and my community and, you know, doing what I do because it connects me to who I really feel I am in my heart. You know, I'm Indian. But that it changes day to day, but that feeling stays, you know, that I am Indian.
Yeah, and that's a good thing. So where can we like find Samosa Shack if we're both online, on social media, and then the most importantly, like in, you know, in real life, because, you know, you can't taste the samosa on Instagram, although it does look really good.
I have to quick share with you. So I get asked that question all the time. Where are you located? And I say, wherever you want us to be.
Mm.
So we travel around farmers markets. We're in Brooklyn every Sunday by the Old Stonehouse Park Slope. Saturdays, for the most part, we're in Morningside Park.
Okay.
We do some markets in Westchester, Larchmont on Saturdays. We do two markets that day. We do Tarrytown Market on Saturdays. We do vegan pop-ups. So we do vegan market in Bushwick once a month. We do the whole... circuit of New Jersey vegan pop-ups, New Jersey Veg Fest. Started with Morristown last January, and now we're doing Asbury Park. These are all monthly, once a month. Morristown, Asbury Park. We're starting one end of this month in Sayreville, New Jersey. We're going up to Worcester, Mass. To do New England Veg Fest.
Wow.
This month, that'll be the farthest.
Samosa Shack is getting around.
Oh, gosh. I don't know how I'll be driving, sleep driving, but that'll be the farthest we'll do. We'll do a big veg fest at the Meadowlands in the fall. We'll do vegan street fair again.
Okay.
There's Vegan Dale Festival coming up on Randall's Island.
Oh, wow.
We'll do that. So just, you know.
And you're pretty good about posting that on social media.
I always post. Yeah. So every Thursday.
And what's your handle?
Samosa Shack NY.
Okay.
Every Thursday is our schedule. And then every Friday I post what's new, our weekly special. And I take you on the journey along with me.
Oh, well, it's a beautiful one so far. I can't wait to see what happens, how it grows. You know, bringing on the chai.
We're just just starting to think. Subconscious mind. I don't think it's reached my conscious of retail.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, because you're in a few vegan shops like Riverdale, which is a vegan cheese shop, and there's some other places where your samosas are kind hanging out. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, I just delivered to Riverdale before I came here to you.
Yeah. All in one. And I've got some fresh samosa filling. This is the parsnip and black eyed pea curry with me. I'm going to take home and enjoy. Oh. Minnie, thank you so much for coming on the show. It's such a delight always to chat with you and to hear, you know, kind of more about both your background, but also what's going on, because it's exciting.
It is exciting.
The food world moves fast.
I know. I'm not fast enough, but thank you so much for having me. It's always fun to see you and talk about Samosa Shack.
Yes. Well, and thank you for listening. This has been Food Without Borders on Heritage Radio Network. Tune in next week to hear a new episode at 6:30 p.m. And have a wonderful evening.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.